Our God is a great God.
Our God is an awesome God. He is a wonder to behold, and I cannot wait to behold Jesus one day. What about you? Oh, hallelujah. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. Well, we have had the privilege in the since the beginning of this year to have six people make professions of faith. Three of them have followed the Lord in baptism. And this morning, we are going to award baptismal Bibles and certificates. And the first one that we would have come forward would be Chloe Addison King. Chloe, this certifies that Chloe Addison King was baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit on the 13th day of March 2022. God bless you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you both now and forever. There you go. The next one is for Cadence Avery King. Now, I'd like to know how many of you have trouble telling them apart. This certifies that Cadence Avery King was baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit on the 13th day of March 2022. Congratulations. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you both now and forever. The next one we're going to award is for Debbie Ham. And as we were getting ready in the baptistry, Debbie looked at me and she said, "I don't have a twin." And I was thankful for that. So Debbie, if you would come this morning. This certifies that Debbie Ham was baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit on the 13th day of March 2022. God bless you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you both now and forever. Amen, sister. God bless you. You're welcome. This is a very special day in the life of our church and of our church family. It is a time that you don't see much of, and we need to see more of. It's a time when parents come and dedicate their children to the Lord Jesus Christ. These parents are going to come in just a moment. They are going to make a covenant with the Lord to raise their child in the nurture and in the admonition of the Lord. The first family that'll come is Jeff and Laura Vosh and their daughter Juliana Riley Vosh. You know, you may come now. Our services go out on YouTube, and they follow us every Sunday on YouTube. We're thankful to have them here in the church this morning, and their daughter is also a member of our Little Ed Preschool. We are so thankful for that. The next couple is our associate pastor and his dear wife, Catherine, Brandon Knuckles, and their son, Judson Jeremiah Knuckles. Yeah. And as they come this morning, I'm going to stand in front as you face the congregation. And as I read these statements, you will reply, "We do." And then we will give the church a charge. Do you today recognize these children as the gifts of God and give heartfelt thanks for God's blessings? Do you now dedicate your children to the Lord who gave them to you all, surrendering all worldly claims upon their lives in the hope that they will belong wholly to God? Do you pledge as parents that with God's fatherly help, you will bring up your children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord, making every reasonable effort with patience in love to build the Word of God, the character of Jesus Christ, and the joy of the Lord into their lives? Do you promise to provide through God's blessing for the physical, emotional, intellectual, and spiritual needs of your children, looking to your own Heavenly Father for the wisdom, love, and strength to serve them and not use them? Do you promise God helping you to make it your regular prayer that by God's grace, your children will come to trust in Jesus Christ alone for the forgiveness of their sins and for the fulfillment of all His promises to them, even eternal life, and in the faith follow Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior and obey His teachings? If you'd step a little closer. Thank you. And as they have pledged there, we do. Do we as a congregation, as much as it lieth in us, will we hold them accountable to the pledges that they have made here this morning to encourage them to raise their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? If you agree, say, we do. Amen. We now dedicate these children to the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank God for the blessings of His life upon them, for the giving of their very lives. And Lord, we ask You to bless these children. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let me just step behind you a moment. This certifies that Juliana Riley Vosh was publicly dedicated to the Lord on the 27th day of March 2022. Congratulations, sir. God bless you both. I'm his favorite pastor. I don't know if you knew that or not, so I get excited. This certifies that Judson Jeremiah Knuckles is publicly dedicated to the Lord on the 27th of March 2022. Congratulations. Way to go, big guy. All right. God bless you. Yeah. You may be seated.
This morning. Ooh, it did that last week, didn't it? I don't know. I'm sorry. Okay. I brought something with me today, and I want to ask if you know what it is. That's right. It's called a chrysalis, or we call it a cocoon. That's a little simpler way, but it is. It kind of gets you tongue-tied, doesn't it, with all the sisters in chrysalis. But anyway, that's the formal term. And that's what a butterfly, you know, goes. I thought we'd talk about butterflies since it's technically spring. It might not feel a lot like it this morning, but spring came in this week. So, and that's something that we see Once it turns spring, don't we? We start seeing butterflies, birds and things. But butterflies go through a process. They don't start out looking like this. They don't start out looking like that, do they? No. They go through stages. There's an egg, and the egg hatches into a larva, which we know as a caterpillar. And then the larva goes into the cocoon. It's a pupa, and then the adult butterfly emerges, and we have what we think, a butterfly. But you know, it's a process. It doesn't happen overnight. And we hear the word, it's a big, long word, but it's called metamorphosis, used to talk about a butterfly, because it's a change. This thing that's gone through those stages goes from the egg to the adult butterfly in stages, and it takes time for each one. It doesn't, you know, just happen like that. And I read a story once about this child that found a butterfly coming out of the cocoon. And it was kind of half in and half out, and it was really struggling. It was struggling as hard as it could to get out of that cocoon. And this child thought, well, I'm going to help it, because he felt sorry for it, because it was such a struggle. And so he tore open the cocoon and let the butterfly come out. But you know what happened?
He touched the butterfly and it died.
Not because he touched it, but it did die. But it died because that process of coming out of the cocoon pumps fluid through the butterfly's wings and makes it strong. And then even after it's out and that process has happened, it takes a little bit of time for the wings to dry and harden so that they can support the butterfly. So without that process of pumping the fluid through its wings and coming out, it wasn't able to do what it was supposed to do. It wasn't able to be what it was supposed to be because it was denied that process. And we're a lot like that butterfly. You know, we talk about how the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians that when we are in Christ, we become a new creature. All the old is passed away and everything has become new. And we focus on that and talk about that a lot with a butterfly. But I want to talk about a little different aspect of it. That's all true. But just like the butterfly, we all go through a stage in our life, times in our life when we're struggling, that we feel bound by sin in our life or by circumstances beyond our control or by sickness or death or any number of things that we face in this life. We're bound by those things. But God has made a way for us to be free of that. When we accept Christ as our Savior and put our faith and hope and trust in Him, He creates something new in us. We go through a metamorphosis and we change and become not who we were, but who God wants us to be. And it's not like that either, like the caterpillar changing to the butterfly. It's a lifelong process because that's what our life here on earth is. It's a process of God changing us from who we are into who He wants us to be. And who He wants us to be is more like Christ. Okay, let's have a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for the way that You have made for us to change from who we are to who You want us to be. Help us each day as we go through that metamorphosis to become the creatures that You desire us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. So I've got each of you a butterfly. So take you one, and there's two colors. You can pick whichever one you want. But put it up in your room somewhere, and when you look at it, or now in a little bit when you start seeing butterflies out in the yard and stuff, remember what that butterfly has gone through, and that it has made a change totally from one thing to something beautiful.
Our next hymn is an old favorite. God is so good. God sent His Son. Let's stand, please. Do a Green Valley greeting. Smile at somebody. You can't shake hands yet, but we can smile.
Thank you.
Amen. God is good. Amen. Oh, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. Let me ask you to invite you again to take your Bibles, if you will. Open them back up to Matthew 24. And let me begin by asking you, how many of you have heard of the Left Behind books or perhaps even seen the movie? Just raise your hand if you've read those books or seen that movie. Thank you. When those books in that movie first came out, there was a great deal of interest in the end times. And today there are many trains of thought regarding the end times and how our Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. In some of those trains of thoughts, they're biblically based, and then others of them, well, they's out there. And that brings me to a question. Why did God give us the prophecies that are contained in His Word? Did He give them so we'd be much concerned with the future? Or did God give them so we would know how we are to be living today? Now, what do you think? Did He give them so we could be overly concerned about our future? Did He give them so we know how to live in this dark world as lights today? My belief is that God gave us prophecy so that we would know how we are to be living as a light in the world today. Many people let their fascination with the future cause them to ignore how they are living in the present. Now, we began our series last Sunday, Walk to Jerusalem. And Jesus, I want you to remember, He is on His way to the cross to die in Jerusalem for the sins of mankind. And the Bible teaches that He met many people. And in meeting these people, the Lord Jesus taught many very important things. Family and friends, it was during this time that people asked the Lord Jesus many questions. And so you have your Bibles open and the Scripture has been read. Now, Jesus shared these words here in our text with His disciples. And God shares them with us so that both they and we will be ready for His return. The context of our Lord Jesus, what He's sharing here, surrounds what's going to happen in the world, what's going on in the world at the time of His second coming. There are some Christians that believe the rapture and of the church and the second coming are all one event. They are not. And so I want to talk to you this morning, first of all, about the difference between the two. The rapture is where the Lord Jesus Christ meets His church in the air. Holy Scripture teaches regarding His church, for God hath not appointed us unto wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why we read, for the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. It's also why the Holy Scriptures teach, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. And so for the church today, God's Word teaches that the church is to be looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of God, of good works. Now, the next event on God's prophetic calendar is the rapture of his church. And the reason that I can say that with all boldness and all authority is simply because there is no prophecy left to be fulfilled for you and I, the church. And so Christ could come at any moment. Soon and very soon, the Bible says a trump's going to sound, a shout's going to come, and God's church is going to rise heavenward. Just like that wonderful song we sing, "One Sweet Day, I'm Just Gonna Fly Away." Oh, what a day that's gonna be when we meet our Lord in the air. The rapture is when Jesus Christ calls his church out of this world. And then the church will appear before the bema seat of Christ to receive our rewards. We will then be ushered into the wedding supper of the Lamb. That's the time the Lord Jesus spoke of when he said, "But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." You see, you and I, the church, we are the bride of Christ. And our bridegroom, Jesus Christ, is coming for us. And so, the rapture is when the Lord Jesus Christ meets his church in the air. The second coming is when the Lord Jesus Christ comes all the way back to this earth. Now, who is Jesus addressing here in this text in Matthew 24? He's addressing the Jews specifically and all those people who have never heard the gospel. In other words, the gospel is preached to them after the rapture of the church. Understand something this morning. If you are alive and have heard the gospel and you have made a decision to reject the cross of Jesus Christ, to reject the preaching of the gospel, and that's your stance, understand there will be no second chance for you once the church has been raptured. You see, the Bible teaches in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning in verse 7, "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." Many people who are alive today and have rejected the gospel, and they've heard it and they have rejected it, foolishly believe, and some even brag that when the rapture comes, when the church is gone, then I'll believe, then I'll believe. But you know what God says? No, you won't. And God is going to allow you to believe a lie. Why? Because he says here in his holy word, you would not believe the love of the truth. You would not believe in the cross of Jesus Christ. You would not believe. You would not believe when it was presented to you. You see it there in the scripture, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. The Bible says they're going to believe a lie because God is going to send them a strong delusion, because they would not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. Now, that's not my opinion. That's God's word. This is what God has said. Now, friend, one thing I know, when God says something, we should pay attention. Amen? But we also know in this world today, there's not a whole lot of people paying attention. And some of those people, believe it or not, are right in the church. We need to pay attention to what God is saying here. Understand that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. He's coming back at the rapture for his bride, the church. That's you and I who are hearing this message today. And 7 years later, after the great tribulation, he's coming back for his chosen people, Israel, and all those who came to faith through the preaching of the 144,000 Jewish witnesses during the great tribulation. Now understand this, no one knows the time when Jesus is going to come back. We just know he's coming back. Can I get a witness? Is Jesus coming back? Amen. Do you believe that? Amen. Listen to me. There are some things we just cannot know. But the Lord Jesus gave us some signs we are to be looking for, but we're never going to know the exact time when Jesus comes. Even the angels don't know. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, doesn't know. Only the Father, only God the Father knows. So whenever you hear someone trying to predict the exact time, as some fools have in times past, and some fools are doing now. Whenever you hear someone trying to set a date, and they say, Jesus is going to come on this time and at this date, understand this. Don't listen to them. Don't waste your time on them. They don't know what they're talking about, because the Bible says we will not know the day. We will not know the hour. We will not know the time. Amen? And so we need to be spending our time on the more important things, such as knowing what God has said in his word, because that's the most important thing of all. Now, I won't put anybody on the spot this morning, but God already knows the answer. And God says his word never goes out void. And so when I say this next sentence, you're either going to feel a pat on the back of encouragement, keep it up, you're doing good, or you're going to feel God's voice of conviction. There won't be any in between. How many of you read your Bible on a daily basis? How many of you know what God has said in his word? You see, this is a very important thing. Are you spending your time, your days, on the most important thing of all? And the most important thing of all is to know what God has said so you and I can live what God has said with the Holy Spirit's help. Amen? There is no doubt about it. Jesus Christ is coming back. Hallelujah. In the day when he returns, his people will be going about their normal day just like today. I mean, I've never seen such a beautiful crowd. You all look good. You realize that? Oh, yeah. You know, I've been around some of you this morning, and I've shaken some hands, and y'all smell good, too. I mean, I haven't smelled any stanky things this morning, but I smell a lot of sweet things. You know, you look good. You can say amen in all the right places. Oh, what a crowd we have here today. But you know what we did? We just got up, went about our day as normal. I mean, I can just picture Brother George over there waking up this morning. Joyce, what's for breakfast? Honey, you know where the cereal is. I've got to get ready for church. Go get your own breakfast, you know. And we're just going about things as normal today, aren't we? I mean, we laugh and we joke and we having ourselves a heck of a time, a great time in the house of the Lord, and that's the way it ought to be. Well, the Bible says here that that's what's going to happen. People are just going to get up and go about their day as normal. Jesus says it's going to be like in the days of Noah. On the day the flood came, people were going about normal family life, normal daily events, and these things will be taking place before both the rapture and the second coming. As time passes, you know what happens to people when a significant event such as 9/11 occurs? It almost seems like the world came to a standstill that day, didn't it? It literally did. I mean, no planes flew, no nothing. We shut down. Oh, we did the same thing when COVID came. but I want to use 9/11 as my illustration. Because if Southwest Virginia was anything like Western New York, churches were full. People were scared. How many of you remember everybody running around after 9/11, no matter who you saw? God bless America. If you saw them, you were shaking their hand. You were pumping their hand like this young man did this morning down here. I never had such an enthusiastic handshake. Boy, he shook it up and down. I think I tore my rotator cuff, but it'd be all right. But people were scared, and everybody was driving around. They all have flags on their cars. You remember that? Lasted about 2 weeks. That's all it lasted. I don't know about down here, because I hadn't been sent here yet, but I've been sent here now. Hallelujah. But in Western New York, it lasted about 2 weeks. And then everybody just went back to doing what comes naturally, what comes normal. Now, we all know about the war in the Ukraine. And maybe you were a little upset when it first happened, wondering what was going to happen. But that's been going on about a month now. And how many of you can now honestly admit you think about that on a daily basis? You see, we just get back to doing what's normal, don't we? And Jesus says, here, it'll be just like in the days of Noah. Well, what were the days of Noah like? They're just like today. People were continuing to live their lives of sin just like people are doing so today. Noah was preaching about the coming flood and the judgment of God. And God had Noah preach for 120 years. How many of you want to say amen when you realize you won't have to listen to me for 120 years? It'd be all right. You can say amen. Noah was preaching for 120 years. The people knew Noah was building an ark. And outside the walls of this church today, in every church, really, there are people who just carrying on life as usual, going about their business. They know the church is there. They've been given an opportunity to come. They've been given the same opportunity you have. Praise God, you took advantage and you made the correct choice. They're making the wrong choice this morning. If you're listening online, you've made the right choice. But how many people do you think are just going about life as if it's just any other day? They knew Noah was building an ark. And people today know that the cross of Jesus Christ stands every single Sunday. It stands every day. But Sunday is the day when the church gathers to worship and praise the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And they've made a decision. Listen to what the Bible says. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Noah warned him. And if you're listening to our live stream or you're in this church this morning, you are being warned. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. There is no doubt. The cross stands. And Noah warned them for 120 years, and you know what? The people just laughed at Noah. They didn't take him seriously at all until it was too late. We hold this testimony today. The gospel has been preached for over 2,000 years now. Think about that. It's been over 2,000 years since Jesus went back to heaven, and he went back, but he made this promise, I am coming back. So for 2,000 years, and I know some of us are not 2,000 years old yet, but some of you act like it. But consider this, the return of Jesus Christ has been preached for over 2,000 years. And do you know what? People still won't listen. People still won't believe. People still don't care. And they say, where is he? Well, have you ever stopped to think about this? They never do. They never stop to think that God is patient in the hopes that they'll receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. It is not for the saved person's benefit that the Lord tarries. It is for the lost. And you and I, as a saved child of God, we are called to be the lights of this world. And so God is long-suffering, amen? How many of you are glad God's long-suffering? Can you imagine the very first time you ever messed up and God went, that's it? I'm so glad God's long-suffering. And so that's why we need to be praying as parents and grandparents fervently for our children, our grandchildren, and everyone else who has not received the Lord Jesus Christ. Because one day the fullness of time is going to come and our Lord Jesus will return. Now, we've already shared that people who are living today who reject the gospel message will be swept away because they would not believe the love of the truth that they might be saved. When Jesus Christ returns, Matthew 24:27 says he's going to come as quick as lightning. Just as lightning lights up the entire sky, everyone is going to see the Lord Jesus Christ coming. There will be no doubt about it. There will be no need to question it. Jesus says here in the passage of Brandon read that he will come as a thief in the night. It'll be unannounced. It'll shatter the world. It will be awesome. It will be terrible. It'll be a terrible day. Just imagine the instant dread and fear. Now remember, Jesus Christ does not come as a thief in the night to his church because he's given us his word so that we, the church, can know all that is going to happen. He comes as a thief in the night to the lost because they have not believed the love of the truth that they might be saved. I want you to imagine a day like any other day. There you are, you're just going about your business. Same old, just going about normal. And in a moment, the trump sounds and the shout comes, and the church is raptured out of the world. Imagine what you're going to feel, what you're going to think if you're left behind. And the realization of that begins to dawn on you. Are you aware that the governments of the world are already preparing and planning to explain away the rapture of the church? Satan is already putting in place what God has said in his word, that you will be given a grand delusion, that you will believe a lie because you will not receive the love of the truth that you might be saved. You know what the governments of the world are calling it in some places? The vanishing. And they're going to put it away. Now imagine another day, 7 years later. Imagine another instance when the sky melts away. And the sound of the trumpet unmistakably rings. And the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, appears in glory and power in his heavenly host. And the day of the Lord, his second coming, and the setting up of his millennial kingdom comes. Will you be ready? If you're not ready for the rapture, you won't be ready for that day either. But understand this, it's going to take place. When Jesus Christ comes at his second coming, it'll be more awesome, more terrible for this world than you can imagine. And no world government can stop it. You know, I find it interesting that the governments of the world have always tried to get Christ out of the world, and where persecution is the hottest, the gospel spreads the most. You can't stop Jesus. All you can do is receive them. There's no stopping Jesus Christ. There will be no time to turn back. You see, the time for turning back is now through repentance and faith. There's not going to be any time to change your mind. The time to change your mind is now. You prepare for the end now. You say, why? Because you don't know when it's coming. This could be the last sermon I ever preached. This could be the last church service you ever attend. We don't know what's going to happen this week. Amen? That's why every plan we make, we ought to make it with these words, the good Lord willing, because we just don't know. How many of you are planning on being in church next week? I am. The good Lord willing, because we just don't know. Well, let's make an application as we close here this morning. Are you ready now? Are you prepared for the rapture? Are you a member of God's church, a sheep safe in the sheepfold of the great shepherd? Understand, if you reject Jesus Christ right now, here today, and the rapture occurs, you will, God's word teaches, believe the lies that the governments are preparing. Why? You say, I won't do that. Yes, you will. You see, God knows you better than you know yourself. The Bible says the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? God knows you. You and I, we think we know ourselves. But can I ask you, have you ever done something and said something, did something, and you go, oh my Lord, what did I say that for? Where was it? It was in your heart. It just come out. You see, God knows us better than we know ourselves. And so here's what I know. If God tells me I need to receive the love of the truth now, I need to receive the love of the truth now because I might not have it later. And if the rapture occurs, God says I'll believe a lie, and I don't want to believe a lie. I love the truth. That's why I love God, and I'm so thankful I'm saved. And if you're here this morning and you're saved, amen. Isn't it great to be saved? Amen. See, we don't have to worry about that, but what about you? If you're here this morning, you're on the fence. You're here this morning, you've never made a decision for Jesus Christ. You're here this morning, you say, I hear that old preacher up there, you know, I wish he'd finish up. Don't worry, I'm getting there. But you walk out of here and you don't receive Jesus. And a rapture takes place. Do you know what hell's like? The Bible says hell is a fire that never goes out. Just imagine that. It's a place where the worm never dies. It's a place of utter darkness. And God is going to prepare your body in such a way that it's not going to burn up. It's just going to continually burn. And in hell, you're going to be down there. And I hope you're not there. But if you reject the love of the truth that you might be saved, that's where you're headed. You know what's going to happen? You're going to remember this message. You're going to say, oh, I wished I'd have listened to that preacher because he said it right. I would have listened to my mama and my daddy because they tried to raise me right. I wished I would have paid attention when my grandparents were praying and mama and daddy were praying and they wanted me to go to church and I fought them and I didn't want to go and I said, I'll be rebellious. No, you don't want that. You see, Jesus Christ is coming back. And then when we look around our world, we are the generation when all the signs that Jesus spoke of, they're all here. Everything's in place. Nothing's left to be fulfilled. Jesus Christ could come at any moment. And I believe he's coming very soon. And so today you're confronted with a choice. You're given an opportunity. That's what you're given. Will you repent of your sins and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Will you confess your sins and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ today? The Bible teaches, again, he limiteth a certain day. Today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Father God, we thank you for your word to us this morning. Lord, I thank you for the blessing and the privilege to preach the true word of God. And I pray, Lord, and I know that your word never goes out void. Every single person who's been within earshot of my voice this morning knows the truth. And Lord, I pray that people will receive the truth today. Lord, I pray if there's a single soul in here this morning who does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that today would be the day that they would come to know Christ as their Savior. I pray for a Christian brother or sister who's been holding on to some things they need to let go of. I pray for those who would want to join the church, or if there's some other prayer request, but as we get ready to sing, God is calling each of us to an opportunity. You see, today we stand at the crossroads of opportunity and blessing. Help our hearts to be right, O Lord, that we will not miss the opportunity that you have presented to us this morning. We pray these things in the name that stands above all names, the name at which one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess, the name of Jesus. It is in his holy name we pray, and all of God's people said,
Amen.
Amen.